106 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Glad to have you all along. Text line, phone line, 343-0106, 343-0106. It is a Thursday, and we say hello to Robert Kennedy Jr. Good morning.
Good morning, Sean. How are you and Dalton doing today?
Doing good. And lots to get going on our list.
We got first, a long list today, don't we?
Yeah, the first question, the first question Dalton asked you when he walked in, other than like the other stuff we talk about, but he asked you a question. He said, is Bernie cooked?
Yeah, is Bernie done after Super Tuesday Part 2?
I believe so, at least for this election cycle. If you look at the way that delegates are distributed based upon the vote counts to come through, once you start to get a substantial lead, you literally would need to start running up states in order to catch the leader. So I think it's fairly clear at this point that Vice President Biden will go into the convention with at a minimum of plurality of the delegates, if not a majority.
All right. Does this have any, do we get the reaction from the Bernie bros on this or what? Do they feel like they've been robbed here? Will we hear what they heard? You know, we heard in 2016.
Well, that's the challenge, right? And as we were talking about last time, and a lot of people pinged me on this one on social media after we got off the air, was the thumb on the scale that was kind of happening with Secretary Clinton during the last cycle. So you would think that the DNC would want to be absolutely above reproach in terms of playing it straight, and starting now, encouraging folks in that progressive wing of the party to come into the fold by, you know, just being respectful, listening to what their concerns are, and identifying areas where elements of that platform can actually come into play.
Yeah, you know, last week we ended up talking about would Warren supporters back Sanders, you know, back Sanders. Mm-hmm. Now the question for me is, will you hear Sanders and Warren? Yeah, I know Sanders says he's continuing on, and everything, but will there be some movement from the populist wing to come around and say, yeah, we support Vice President Biden?
It's probably more related to time frame than anything else, because I still think we're probably in the space where some people do have some hurt feelings. You could see that in some of Senator Warren's interviews that she was having immediately afterwards, particularly when they started delving into some of the issues of gender and gender bias in the race as well. So it remains to be seen, right? Once we get through a couple more weeks, I think we'll have a better sense of whether or not that'll happen, at least in the short term.
Yeah, we're looking at the same subject, looking from different perspectives, from a Democrat perspective, a man that's run for office. I don't carry anybody's card, but obviously I have a conservative perspective on this. To me, you know, I was maybe in a way hoping Sanders would be the nominee because I thought it would be easier for President Trump to beat Sanders. I mean, that was kind of the strategy in my mind, where it is probably a little harder. I still think President Trump has the advantage, but a little harder with Joe Biden. Some places, now he's the gaffes and all that stuff, but some places they're matched with the kind of rhetoric and the things they'll say and stuff. It'll make a debate an interesting thing.
I do think the debates will be interesting. I think when it comes to the advantages, at least from your perspective, if I were sitting in your chair, I would have preferred to have Senator Sanders as the nominee as well, mostly because of one of the things that is Vice President Biden's key talking points right now is at least Vice President Biden can point to elements of his record where he moved things across the finish line. And then you can have a substantive debate as to whether or not you agree or disagree with those things, but at least he has the record. Senator Sanders has a little bit of a challenge with that. And while definitely the possibility exists that he will defeat President Trump if, in fact, his nomination causes the number of people to come to the polls to increase exponentially, where he still ends up presenting a problem for the party is particularly down ballot. So when you think about the impact potentially on the United States Senate and also the potential impact on the House of Representatives, that's really where I think his nomination would not be quite as strong as the vice president's.
You know, we've seen several videos over the last few months with Biden on the campaign trail, talking to possible voters that come up to him and ask him questions, and one more recently this week where he got in a guy's face. Has Biden kind of been like that the whole time? What do you think is kind of or do you think he's showing that he has some fire in him to get on the debate stage with Trump?
Well, you know, having sat in that chair as well, I know you guys normally see me as a fairly cool customer each Thursday, but there were a couple of times where I had to, you know, kind of reflect, you know, kind of more the way that I grew up than the way that I am now. And people will take you there. And there's certain points, and this is actually interesting, when we had a conversation about Senator Sessions or Attorney General Sessions a few weeks ago, is that sometimes you have to be the fighter, and sometimes if somebody challenges you and crosses that line, you need to confront them in the moment. And I actually think that reflects not an ability to maintain your cool, because clearly you have that, but sometimes, you know, you just got to be a man and stand up for what you believe in that moment.
Yeah, that's one of the things we had talked about in the past, that, you know, it's interesting. You were saying that. Also, people I know that conservatives were saying that they were bothered by Jeff Sessions seeming to acquiesce to the to the taunts and all that from President Trump, that he was running ads. Like, listen, and in the state of Alabama, I roll my eyes on it because I assume that everybody who's running on the Republican side will support the president, but it's always this contest of who's the most Trumpy. But in that case, you had the president saying bad things about Jeff Sessions at the same time he was celebrating President Trump. I mean, one of his ads was more of an ad for President Trump than it was Jeff Sessions.
Sure. You know, when you and I were having that exchange, was that the same day that Attorney General Sessions came into the office, I believe?
Might be.
Yeah, I think it was that same day. I was saying it more from the perspective of style, and I know that kind of ginned up a lot of feedback from the listening audience, but it was not what Senator Sessions was saying substantively, and I have some disagreements with that, but it was the fact that he was allowing the president essentially to walk all over him. So what I would have wanted to see in that moment was him literally do the verbal chop in the throat. And it's like, okay, Mr. President, if you want to take it there, we can take it there. But, oh, by the way, every single thing that you ended up presenting as a policy was something that I was claiming and emphasizing way before you even came on the radar screen.
Yeah.
Because now he can own that. And again, even though I disagree with him substantively, he's been consistent on those views, you know, kind of in that mainstream populist sense, for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, and that's one of the questions I've had for voters out there for the Republican side, is that I believe President Trump will win re-election, but after 4 years, he's not in office anymore. And if you believe in this movement, this Main Street populist movement from a conservative side, if you attach it all to President Trump, you know, a cult of personality, right, then when he's gone, is the movement gone? Because you have to have people there that'll, if you believe in this movement more than you believe in the person, then you've got to have people that are advocates of that in Washington.
And see, this is the thing, you and I were having this conversation before about Senator Jones. And conventional wisdom is that Senator Jones is going to have a really rough time. And that's related more to straight ticket balloting that we have here in the state of Alabama than anything else. But I actually think, and I've told you before, that I think he's going to come out swinging and have a very good chance, because the president lacks a certain amount of self-discipline. And so when I've been talking to conservatives, and they won't say this publicly, but they are really, really concerned about a Coach Tuberville nomination.
Well, I will say this.
Really concerned.
Straight up, I continue to say this. I believe that Jeff Sessions has a better chance of defeating Doug Jones than Tommy Tuberville does. I mean, I do believe that. I think Tommy Tuberville still can defeat Doug Jones, but I think Sessions, you know, has a better chance. But we'll continue the discussion in a second. Head to the news and come right back. More with Robert Kennedy Jr. right here on FM Talk 106.5. At 8:20, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, Robert Kennedy Jr. Hey, by the way, Robert, question here from Supermom. Does Mr. Kennedy think the DNC was more for Biden or more for Sanders? Was there an obvious bias to him?
So the DNC was more for Biden than it was for Senator Sanders. I don't think there's any doubt about that whatsoever. I don't think there was bias the way that it was coming out in 2016, but one of the things that I wrote down as an observation, and this is after the first time that I ran for office, is that organizations in power want to remain in power, and although they're saying, in quotes, that they're playing it straight, no one's actually playing it straight.
There you go. Let's talk about the debate rules and how those are changed and what
you had to hit me with this one on air, didn't you?
Yes. So Tulsi Gabbard has a rule change that now makes her not eligible, made her not eligible for debate.
That's correct.
And the rule change was what? It was like from a certain percentage of...
Right. So one of the things that the DNC was attempting to do in order to avoid some of the chaos that was in the Republican primary in 2016, was they set up some objective criteria essentially designed to make sure that the people who were on the stage were the most viable. And so the two criteria that started were the amount of money that you raised, and then the amount of money had to come from individual contributions in a number of different states. And there was some weighting based upon the states that have primaries sooner rather than later. And then the second criteria had to do with national polling, and you had to hit a certain threshold from an average of polls, and it could be either the national average or the polls that are being conducted in those individual states. So that all worked right up until the point that Mike Bloomberg entered the race.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the other things that I've told people quite often whenever we talk about campaigns is to remember that political campaigns are an industry and they're fueled by money. And so what people are trying to do is they're trying to get as much money into the system as possible that ultimately goes into ads, and then people actually make their money, the consulting industry, if you will, as a percentage of that media spend. So the first change in rules came from Bloomberg, right? Because people wanted his $500 or so million
yes.
going into the industry. Once again, it's all about the money, right? Well, that was to the positive. So you can say, make an argument that that was expanding the pot as opposed to contracting the pot. Well, after Super Tuesday, as we actually went into the primary and caucus process, there was a new rule. And the new rule required you to have one pledged delegate. Mm-hmm. And so as long as you want a delegate somewhere, you would end up being on the debate stage. So the folks who had pledged delegates were Buttigieg, Biden, Sanders, Warren, Klobuchar. And then as a result of the election in America Samoa, and for those of you who may not be familiar with that in your world geography, it is a United States territory that's south of the equator in the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, Polynesia.
Yes. And the two individuals who won delegates out of American Samoa were Mike Bloomberg and Tulsi Gabbard.
Right. So she had a delegate.
A number of people dropped out proximate to Super Tuesday or after Super Tuesday. So according to the rules, she was eligible to be on the debate stage. So because folks in the DNC power structure did not want her on the debate stage, they simply changed the rules.
It's changed it, and we didn't hear it. I mean,
and for the record, my reaction to that was similar to the reaction that you had when you found out that Frontier Airlines had closed here in Mobile. And I simply
said, threw a fit.
Yeah, I mean, I simply say that to say you want to know that the people running the rules are playing it straight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an example of them not playing it straight. Now, her being on the debate stage may not affect the eventual outcome of the election.
She's not going to be elected.
The rule.
Yes.
You set the rule, but then you didn't follow the rule because you didn't like the rule, which is an interesting segue into some things that are happening here locally.
Okay, and I figured this. So you wanted to talk about the announcement yesterday from Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. He came on the show, and we talked about this Grow Mobile Now idea and the signing of the petition to get enough people signing the position, Mobile citizens, to move the city council to having a vote to eliminate supermajority.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that's just like the DNC changing the rules?
Yeah, absolutely. So
how is that?
So I was listening to your interview. I guess Sheriff Cochran was on Monday.
Tuesday, and then came back on yesterday.
Tuesday, okay. Yeah. So we started hearing rumors that this was going to happen at the tail end of last week and over the weekend. And I find it interesting because it's like, well, what is his motivation? Was his motivation in his chair as sheriff the fact that if we pull back the police jurisdiction, that ultimately causes more strain on the sheriff's department, and then the county doesn't have direct taxing authority, so it ends up being problematic for them. So obviously, annexation is something that he would prefer because it helps to solve a problem that he has, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the rule is what the rule is. And so the reason why that did not go through is because under our system of government, most things require a 5-2 majority versus
super majority, 70-something percent agreement.
And this all came out of the mid-80s when our form of government changed to make sure that instead of folks being elected citywide, mm-hmm. you actually had districts. Mm-hmm. And what they wanted to make sure that at the time, African-Americans were a minority in the city of Mobile, and they wanted to make sure that there was sufficient African-American representation. So, you know, whether it's what we talked about with the DNC, whether it's what we're talking about here, as a matter of fact, the U.S. Senate special election, which is the one in which Doug Jones was elected, they changed the rules for doing that as well. So now when the governor appoints, you don't hold a special election. Right. It waits to direct. It's just interesting that whenever someone gets an outcome that they don't like, now all of a sudden you're changing the rules.
Okay. I would say this, though. It's not by fiat the way it is for the DNC doing it, right? Or something in an executive branch, DNC, not political. I mean, it's a political group. But let me. Okay. But in this case, it is part of the rules set up that set up our system of government, Zogbiak system, mm-hmm. right? And part of that was, here's the process to petition to change, you know, something. The people get to vote on changing something in their government. Vox populi, vox dei, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the people get to make a change. I'm not saying
it's illegal.
No, but what are you saying?
My basic advocacy is you didn't like the result, so now you're changing the rules. Every system allows you to change the rules. It's the same thing that allows the DNC to do it.
Yeah, but in most of them, you have to elect somebody. See, this is the thing. We see this when people say, term limits. Mm-hmm. And I say, you got to get enough people voted into office at one time that will then push term limits.
Yeah, no one's going to unilaterally disarm.
You know, exactly. Right. Exactly. So it's one of these things, yeah, you can talk about term limits, but show me the road to get there. It's pretty tough. This is a lot more hands-on for the people because they can petition to change their form of government. I think that's a good thing.
But it's still not, it's not the what, it's the why. And the,
yeah, but the why
source
is,
of motivation for Sheriff Cochran doing this initiative was the fact that the vote to allow the folks who were in the surrounding areas of the city of Mobile to vote as to whether or not they wanted to be part of the city of Mobile got defeated. That was the motivation. All the stuff about the council president and all that, that's all smoke and mirrors.
But those things are true.
Those are actually true.
And one thing, let's take with your view of it that it's very specific to the annexation vote, mm-hmm. where the bloc came with a minority of the council members, three council members blocking the majority here, not having a supermajority, mm-hmm. to not let the people vote on whether they're going to come in or not. In the past, there's not been an issue with letting people, I mean, annexation.
But Sean, this is where I get you on this issue. The people who were voting were people outside of the city. So
they were allowing, the city council would allow the people outside the city to vote. They didn't vote them in. They just allowed them to write a referendum.
It was not the city council letting people in the city of Mobile vote whether or not they wanted to accept more people in. This is different than the argument that you're making for Sheriff Cochran. The Sheriff Cochran substantive argument, which says if the city of Mobile citizens who are here now want to change their form of government, absolutely, they have the right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's different than people outside of the city limits voting, which is what
but
the city council
why wasn't wanted. It different in the past when the annexation votes were presented?
What do you mean? Why is it different?
The same thing happened before over years with where the city council would say, okay, we can have the right of referendum for those people in the county that want to come in the city. Right? We'd have an annexed area with the same process would go on.
No one's ever changed their mind in the history of government.
Well,
it happens all the time.
But it's why now on annexation?
No, but it was under the same set of criteria, which would have been a supermajority criteria.
And it wasn't blocked. It wasn't blocked any of the times. Sometimes people voted not to come into the city.
But your word choice is interesting. You're saying it was blocked. It wasn't blocked. It didn't pass.
So therefore it was blocked.
No, the rules require 5-2. So I'm looking at this from a positive orientation. So in order for it to pass, you have to have 5-2. It wasn't like it was blocked. It's just the rules. The rules say you have to have 5-2.
So
in those other situations, there were 5-2.
Yes. And why not now?
I don't have to justify why not now. It's the system of government that we have.
No.
You're saying that you didn't get the outcome you wanted, and so you should have a clear path to change the rules.
Do you think the people in the city should not have the right to petition to change?
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Yeah,
there it is.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
All right.
We know what's happening.
You know why it's happening. All right. We'll pick this up next week, most likely in weeks to come.
All right, Sean. It's good seeing you and Dalton this morning. You guys be good. Stay safe out there.
Likewise. All right. We'll be right back.
836 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive. We talk to Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Tell us, what's going on at McConnell Automotive today?
Well, everybody's negative around there, so we're trying to sell a few cars.
I hear you, and I know you got some great deals.
Oh, yeah, we got 0% going on the rest of those Mardi Gras trucks, and any other truck we got. I mean, we'll give you a heck of a deal on those. Got some new Yukons supposed to come in hopefully the first part of spring, first part of summer, somewhere around in there. That's going to be an awesome car. Can't talk enough about the new, all-new three-quarter ton truck, though. Those are getting gone. We're getting a few diesels in on trade. We got a couple yesterday, so anybody looking for a pre-owned certified GM diesel, come see us. Also got great news. The body shop is just having a wonderful year. I mean, yeah, people need to go check it out. If you get in that unfortunate accident, go see Gary and the guys back there, man. They'll do you a jam-up job, take care of your insurance claims, and do all that for you. That's just one of the things we do. Many a service. We got loaner cars. You know, we just got the all-around great dealership. Y'all come check us out. Check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, I'll be checking in with our buddy Rob Holbert from Lanyap in just one second, but I do always want to go to the phones when I see that Freddie is on hold. Hey, Freddie.
Good morning, Sean. And, of course, the West Mobile Annexation Committee, we support Sheriff Cochran on this effort, and I wanted to take the task of what Robert Kennedy just said. And Sheriff Cochran is a citizen of the city of Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
As a citizen of the city of Mobile, he's allowed to use whatever mechanism that he deems necessary to right any wrong that if he's there may have been. Now, that said, there was no time limit put in when the original Zogby Act was proposed, as to other than the initial first 2 years, that people could have bought this change about it any time they desired. So it's something that's always been there, and it's in the rules that a citizen of the city of Mobile can petition the city council to change the form of government. So it doesn't give you a specific time when you should do this or when you could do this. It just says that you can.
Yeah, it was like 2 years after establishment of the government, this was open. And I appreciate your call on that. And got a ton of text here. Does Robert honestly think if we annex white people into Mobile, we will never elect a black mayor again? Fred Richardson does, and I'm so sick and tired of this backwards racism. Where is my mind? That people for 40 years claimed racism, and now they are the true racists. You know, here's what I look at is, number one, like Freddie said and others, it is part of the system here. It is pretty refreshing, actually, that you can have an adjustment here done by the citizens of Mobile. And what does it mean going forward on annexation? I think there's acute issues to talk about for annexation, and there's also long-term issues for the city. Let's get the take of Rob Holbert from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Hey, man.
Hey, how are y'all doing this morning?
Doing good. So, Grow Mobile Now, rolled out yesterday by Sam Cochran. What's your take?
Well, I listened to Robert's take on it, and I think, there's some things he's missing on that. But I want to preface this by saying, I think I'm not in favor of changing the system because I think it just creates a lot of problems. However, it is part of the rules. And, you know, so it's as much a part of the rules as to change the system as it is to block the vote. That's nothing different than what they're doing. You know, so it is part of the system that was designed. The reality of this, I think, is that people feel, or at least a significant amount of people in the city feel, like this is an unfair situation because it's different. It's a departure from what the city council has done before. When there was annexation on the table before that did change the racial breakdown of the city, they still got a unanimous vote to do that. And I think the big difference, and this I think, Sean, is real key, in the past annexation votes, we've been trying to get people in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the city wanted those people. They wanted to annex people in. In this situation, those people are asking to come in, and some people don't want them in. I think it's obvious that those issues, I mean, the three people who voted against it have not offered any issues or any excuses that really make a lot of sense. You know, to me, I don't care what color somebody is that comes in the city. If it makes more money for the city, if it's bringing positive to the city, then bring it in. I mean, if it's going to be something that's an overall expense, then that makes some sense not to do it. But nothing suggests that that's the case. Everything seems to suggest that this will be positive. You know, it'll be financially positive. So what's the point in not doing it? And I think we just get back down to racial politics. And it's poor leadership in that regard, and I think that's why we are where we are. If they had just allowed the vote like they've done in the past, like everybody's done in the past, then I don't think this thing would be on the table.
Yeah, you know, I roll my eyes having to deal with this, but I do realize it's reality for a lot of folks. It wears me out that, you know, your decision, your politics would be based on your skin color. But let's look at the, if that's the important thing, then the people that came in, that would vote to come in, if they voted to come in, the 13,000. They've done breakdowns here of the demographics of those people, which if, obviously it's important to people. It's, 80-something percent white, yeah. And 30%, or I mean, 20-something percent minority. And I look at that and say, well, that still doesn't change the overall status of a minority-majority city. So it's closer to, but it doesn't change the status from being minority majority. If that's the thing that's important, the thing that's important to me is how the city works and how the city grows and the future of the city. But to a lot of people, it depends on whose skin color is represented more than others.
Well, this city has elected a black mayor twice with a white majority and a white mayor twice with a black majority.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept that the fear, let me say, that people will not ever elect a black mayor again. I don't know that that's borne out by what's happened in the past, by history. You know, so, you know, I really feel like some of these things that go on, we look at it and say, okay, well, you know, we're going to lose District 2 eventually. We'll only have two black council people. You know, when you look at the council districts and the way they are designed, in particular, there are three districts that are super, super stacked.
Mm-hmm.
That's Beth Riches, and there's CJ's and Fred Richardson's, and then LaVon Manzi's is pretty stacked as well. You know, the council has they do their districting, and there's, you know, some of this is districting. Some of it is,
yep,
let's have super majorities in districts rather than spread the district out and have a more even playing field across all the districts. So, you know, the complaints that they don't have opportunities to have four council people also get back to how we're stacking the districts. You know, so I mean, there are a number of things there, I think, that you know, that you could consider in terms of if you're worried about being outvoted or being or you're not having a majority or having a fair amount on the council.
But this is something that you'll get pushback at state level and national level from those in the parties, right? Party loyalists here for Republicans and Democrats, they will explain to you why it's better to have these super stacked districts, where I wonder if it's not better to have, instead of, you know, red and blue districts, to have a lot of purple districts and let the people battle it out. And I think you may get better leaders out of that. I think that
when you have stacked districts, you allow for more demagoguery and a lot less,
yep,
compromise.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that you get people to represent you on both sides. This is not specific to any side, that they have a lot more leeway to not care about the minority in their district.
Yep. That's why, I mean, I don't know that we're going to change that, because the people in charge need to keep it that way. So why would they vote to change that?
I'm just saying, if, you know, if we're going to complain about the situation, there are, when we're looking at rules and looking at changes, there are changes that could be made. There are districts, you know, there are several districts now that are pretty, that are a lot closer to even. You know, so there are ways to redistribute some of that stuff, redistribute some of the voting in that. It would probably make some sense if you want to, if you really want that. I just think it's very poor leadership on the from the standpoint of Fred and CJ and LaVon to, you know, claim that they're doing this for various and sundry reasons. And, you know, we want to build Mobile from inside. We don't want to do these things. When, you know, the realities are pretty obvious, and it's getting into just worrying about racial politics, and that, you know, that's, somebody's got to stop this stuff eventually. Yep. And that's that, if somebody doesn't stop it, if we just continue to go down the road, you know, the white city council members voted for to bring in black citizens into the city, or to allow black citizens to vote in the city and to switch the majority in the city. And I think you look at it, a lot of people feel like this is unfair, and, you know, it would, I think it's, you know, in a perfect world, it would just be a majority rules. I get that switching from a supermajority is very divisive. I don't think you're going to see the city, I mean, I don't think you're going to see the mayor's office be really behind this thing either, because they realize that it is tough and it is divisive. But, you know, by the same token, just blocking the vote is also divisive.
But, I mean, in this, and we got to run to the break here, but, I mean, in this, if you're look, so supermajority is not about supermajority or simple majority. You're saying for many, supermajority versus simple majority is a discussion of race.
I think it's absolutely a discussion of race, and it's also the other thing about supermajority that we run into a lot of times is that, you know, and it's what's going on right now. There's just too much horse trading that goes on when somebody can hold the whole council hostage. They can hold the majority hostage, and then you start getting into, oh, well, you know, if you'll do this, then I'll vote for it. And you get more of those things, I think, that are problematic.
All right, coming right back. More with Rob Hulbert from Land Yap. We'll talk about the new Land Yap out on the streets now and how the leprechaun made it onto the cover. Kane, FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings. This segment of the show brought to you by The Maids. Think about your home and the cleanliness of your home, and down to the very small level cleanliness of your home. I talk about The Maids. They work in our home, from baseboards to ceiling fans and everything in between. But they're using these HEPA filtration systems on their Ghostbuster-like backpack vacuums here. They've got HEPA filtration that captures 99% of all dust, allergens, bacteria, pollen, pet dander, and other pollutants. They run these HEPA filters. They trap airborne allergens and potential toxins as small as 1/210th of a human hair. They use a 5-stage HEPA filtration system, helping reduce colds, allergic reactions, and asthma attacks. That's just part of the great service you get with The Maids when they come to your house, and you get that gift of clean and the gift of time. Hey, get yourself a free estimate now by calling 344-6626. 344-6626 for The Maids, or if you Google The Maids Mobile in Baldwin County, you'll get that number for the free estimate, 344-6626. The people take care of our house, let them do the same for you. All right, continue our conversation with Rob Hulbert from Land Yap, and should we say it's a nappy time?
It is. It's a nappy time, man. It's nappy. You know, we're doing the voting starts, and nomination period has started. It's votenappies.com. You go on there, and this is the nomination period. Get it up. You know, vote for your favorite companies and people to get in there and then be in the finals. So this is how they're selected.
Yeah, the first process here. This is the first
process. Yes, yeah. This is the nomination period.
Right. So, yeah, if you don't make it through this one, you don't get a chance to compete in the second part. So, vote early.
Get out there and do it.
All right.
And also, just a reminder that next week is going to start Restaurant Week as well. So that's going to be we got a lot of restaurants involved. It'll be a lot of fun. So y'all check that out. We'll have everything coming next week for that. But get ready for it.
Okay, where do
get
we
out there and eat?
Yeah, well, where do we find our latest issue of Land Yap?
The latest issue you can get at 1,500 different locations around Baldwin, Mobile County, and you can check us out online at lanyapmobile.com. It's 21 cents a day. I tell you everything's going on both sides of the bay, plus you get into our archives, you get breaking news. It's well worth that 21 cents.
You talk about, think about the cover of the latest Lanyap. The longevity of the leprechaun really is an amazing testament.
It is. And that, you know, it's sort of something I've been kind of fascinated by, is thinking about the, you know, what's the leprechaun, the amateur drawing worth? You know, it's from the standpoint of, you know, it's you know, if that was something everybody's using, all this trademark and stuff, what would it be worth? Because it's appearing on everything now. It's even on a bottle of beer somewhere, you know, so it's, yep, it's just, it's kind of really grown. I'm sure if it was trademarked, it probably wouldn't be all over the place, but it is kind of fascinating. It's a really interesting story from people who are using it to market, and it's a fun thing. You know, St. Paddy's coming up, so it's good to get back to this, to the Crichton Leprechaun.
The it probably, and somebody will probably prove me wrong, but I would say the most famous amateur sketch out there, Loco, that's amateur, that's done by an amateur.
It's probably so. Probably so.
And that's from right here. That's, so that's part of the rich fabric that is the story of Mobile, that we are most likely, like we talk about Mardi Gras, and but we're, yeah, home to what has to be the planet's most famous amateur sketch.
I think there's no doubt. And I'd like to see anybody compete on that level. You know, there's just, it is the best amateur sketch, most famous amateur sketch.
Yeah, I'd like to know if that original is still hanging around somewhere, who might have the original leprechaun.
You know, there's rumors that some lawyer has it, whatever. I don't know. Who knows? It's still rumors about who wrote it, who drew it, who didn't. You know, there's really nothing solid about who did that. But it is fascinating to think that somebody scratched that out, and it, you know, this many years later, is just an icon, not only in Mobile, but around the country.
And I don't know if you've seen on Twitter, I think it was our friend Not Fred on Twitter who added the surgery mask to the Crichton.
Yes,
well, we also did that for the gadfly this week too. So, you know, trying to escape the coronavirus here.
Is it true that you can use Lanyap to fashion some sort of mask that would prevent?
You can, but it will. It's only effective up to like the Coors Light virus.
not the corona.
We're working on it.
Okay, good. Good. I'm glad you're efforting on that. Just a minute left here, but your take so far on the runoff here, the AL1 runoff.
Man, that's a tough one. That's really a tough one. It's I'm guessing it seems like it's leaning a little more toward Jerry, but it's Jerry Carl. That's a tight one. I really don't know what's going to happen there. It is a really tough race.
All right.
Getting very testy.
Yes. Yes, it is. And we'll figure out at the end of it who likes Trump more. Who loves Trump more?
I think it's going to have, somebody's going to have to donate blood or a kidney.
That's true. And then somebody will say, well, I'll donate a lung.
It's, I mean, just up the ante.
All right. Rob, as always, man, we appreciate it, and we'll pick up the new copy of Lanyap. And once again, Nappy nominations open now. Once again, how do we do that? Where do we go?
VoteNappies.com. Get on there and put your nominations in, and it'll be tallying for the next 4 weeks.
There he is. Rob Hobart, have a great weekend.
All right. Y'all have a great day.
All right. We'll be back in 3 for Midday Mobile. Keep up with us online, fmtalk1065.com. On Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and when we can figure out how to TikTok, we'll do that.
Oh, yeah.
Just I don't know how to do it, so.
I'm going to a class.
Good.